Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says you better take that umbrella with you today. His Indiana Farm Forecast is on the way. You're on the Hat Podcast for this Tuesday morning, the 24th of September, 2024. The Hat Podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. Or just swing by and have a friendly conversation with someone at your local branch and talk about your ag operation today. Also coming up in the news, why now? Why are we getting this renewed sense of optimism about a new farm bill? Ted McKinney, who's your native, former USDA Undersecretary, weighs in. He's my latest guest on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast. Check out that podcast after you listen to this one. And we have market analysis from John Zanker after big gains to start the week for corn, soybeans, and wheat. The news is next here on Hat.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
An Indiana ag leader discusses his hope for a new farm bill this year and an Indiana-based company using AI to harvest watermelons and pumpkins. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, we've been hearing a lot lately about renewed optimism for a new farm bill this year, but why now? Eric Pfeiffer has more.
I'm pleased that we're seeing a goal of maybe getting this thing done and getting it done independently. I'm excited about the possibilities, not the certainty, but the possibilities.
That's Indiana native and former USDA Undersecretary Ted McKinney on the potential of getting a farm bill done this year. Now the CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, McKinney is hearing the same buzz in D.C. as many others that the pressure is mounting on ag lawmakers. He believes it's for a couple of reasons.
First, there have been some very good studies, including those from USDA's own analysis, that suggests the economy on the farm is bad and getting worse, or at least it doesn't look very good going into next year.
One of those reports from USDA forecasts a 23% drop in farm income from 2022. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall put it bluntly to this reporter last week when he asked me, "How would you be doing if your paycheck was cut by 23%? I imagine your response would be similar to mine of not great. The other reason McKinney believes the pressure is on lawmakers to get a farm bill through in a lame duck session.
Hunger in many sectors continues to rise. It's surprising because we're out of COVID. You'd think we're back to it. I think it has to be this rate of inflation and the stingy rate of food inflation that has stayed there that combines to say, whoa, we got to do something.
McKinney has more to say about this and other topics like food security, labor, and trade in the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast. Find it now wherever you listen to podcasts or on the Hat mobile app. Just search Hoosier Ag Today in your app store. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Well, you've been hearing a lot lately about AI and how the technology can be used to advance the ag industry. But there's a new ag company that's based out of Vincennes called Terraforce that's already using AI to harvest watermelons and pumpkins.
Without AI, this wouldn't really be possible.
And that's Mike Jacob, the founder of Terraforce. His company has developed a robotic harvester that uses AI to identify whether watermelons and pumpkins are ripe and ready for harvesting. Then the AI technology is used to carefully pick the fruits with very little human oversight.
We're solving farmers' most severe problem in melon production, and that's labor. Labor's hard to get, labor's expensive, and it was the conversations with growers before this company even existed that really brought it into existence and got it off the ground.
Jacob says the robotic AI harvesters can also be used for more than just harvesting.
The other cool thing we can do with the machine in its current configuration is we can conceivably plant out the live plants at the beginning of the season. Right now, that's pretty labor intensive. It's done by hand, but we can use these same robotic arms with different end effectors to grasp the plant and plant it into the ground.
And without the embedded cost of having to use large farm labor teams, Jacob says that TerraForest could have a significant impact on the U.S. watermelon and pumpkin industries.
One of the things it's going to do is it's going to make U.S. fruit more competitive with import fruit. If you look at the import trends for melons over the past 10, 20 years, all the growth has been captured by imports. Domestic production is flat to slightly down. That's because we couldn't compete on price until now.
He adds that his company is also using AI to develop harvesters for other specialty crops, such as tomatoes, lettuce, and cucumbers.
Some of the recent developments that have enabled this are the use of deployable AI, edge AI, that we can have out in the field without an internet connection, determining what's a watermelon, what's not a watermelon, what's ripe, what's not ripe, and how should the robot travel to get to the melon and get it back up into the machine.
Learn more about Indiana-based TerraForest at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Use the umbrella today. Thankfully, some rain is trying to move through the Hoosier State. We've got a low lifting up from the southwest that put down some fairly significant thunderstorm activity in Oklahoma and into the Missouri Valley already. Now it's headed towards us. Rain and thunderstorms, I think, can give us anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain today. The top end of the rain range is going to be where the bigger thunderstorms fall, and there is a threat of strong to severe weather here in some parts of the Hoosier State today. So just be aware there can be some heavier rain and some strong storms. But by the time we get to midnight tonight, everything's done, and we're settling in with a drier forecast for the rest of the week. Mixed clouds and sun for tomorrow. We're not going to be too cool, not too warm. Pretty nice day post a system. And then going through the Thursday, Friday, Saturday time frame, this is where things get interesting. We've got a hurricane that's going to be trying to work its way through the Florida Panhandle, probably making landfall late Thursday. Plenty of moisture coming ahead of the system, coming up into the deep south and trying to get up into areas as far north as the Ohio Valley. So we'll have to see how that goes. But then the low itself, the hurricane itself, comes ashore through the Florida Panhandle, and most tropical systems should veer to the east or curve to the east eventually. Models are just having trouble with this one, certain ones more than others. But in all cases, I don't think a surge to the west of this moisture is something that's super likely to happen. And I definitely don't think it gets very far north. I think maybe one day, Saturday, we have a chance for some hit and miss scattered showers as the remains of this hurricane try and disperse across the eastern part of the United States. But that is it. So I am keeping Wednesday dry, Thursday dry, Friday dry, saying maybe we see a few hit and miss scattered showers on Saturday and then back to dry weather for Sunday into Monday of next week. But this is something we need to watch. Tropical systems are finicky, and when it comes to track, what we've learned over the years is, hey, never trust any track on a tropical system that is outside of 48 hours. So we're just going to be in a wait and see mode here. I do not think we see large scale rains that interrupt harvest conditions as we finish out the week and go into the weekend with this hurricane, but time will tell. We also need to watch where the winds go with this as well. Now, next week, we're mostly dry, maybe a minor system to start the week coming out of the upper Midwest and into the Great Lakes. I think if we see anything there Tuesday, it would be a few hit and miss scattered showers, but then we're back to mostly dry air for the balance of next week. A little bit cooler, but I think above normal temperatures continue to hold right on through next week and into the following week. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you. But when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Double-digit gains for the grains to start the week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review. I'll have final numbers from Monday trade coming in just a few moments, but first let's get market analysis now from John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. And John, here to start the week, I don't think we can complain. It seemed to me like we might start off the week on a sour note with this rain that rolled in over the weekend and here today, and maybe a little bit more rain here to come, but that's not the case. What's happening here that we're seeing these double-digit gains led by the soybean market?
Well, what's going on here with the rains, certainly welcomed, and we finally got some rain here on the north side of Indianapolis. I think maybe the first measurable rain to any extent since maybe around the 15th of August, so a long stretch. And it's certainly a good thing to get some moisture back in these beans that are ready to be cut. This week's forecast is showing some really good rains getting into the bulk of Missouri, Illinois, southern Indiana, Kentucky, maybe some in Ohio, Gulf states. So we have a chance to perk these double crop yields back up because they've been suffering, at least the potential. So, but that's all being smothered by what's going on in Mato Grosso. And it looked like on Friday, maybe a better chance of some rains getting into that Mato Grosso Guayas area in the 8 to 15, but didn't look any more impressive, looked a little less impressive this morning on those extended maps. So that's a really big deal for the corn, I think, because late planted in Mato Grosso means a lot of corn is going to be going into pollination maybe after the hot and dry season starts. So I think what's going on there is more important for corn than beans, but it's kind of hard for the bean market to ignore it as well.
As we look at this, John, talk to us about where we're at in the season down there. Maybe compare it to kind of where we would be up here. I mean, where exactly are we at down there? How big of a scare is it?
Well, they've got a year-round growing season, so you can plant beans just about any time in Mato Grosso and a few months later harvest them and end up with the same yield. But this is essentially, you get to middle of September, you would like to be planting beans in northern Brazil. So, something similar to what we would see, Oklahoma, Texas, Gulf states, something like that. So, and of course, those states can come in behind their our southern states can come in behind the soybean or the wheat crop with some pretty good soybean yields. So that's kind of what we're seeing, that double crop corn in Brazil accounts for 70 to 75% of their yearly production. So it's a big deal. Now, the southern half of the Brazilian belt has been seeing some pretty good rains, Parna, Rio Grande do Sul in those states. So, and they're not quite ready to plant soybeans, but there is some corn planting going on. So close to 50% of the Brazilian production regions, corn, soybeans, again, just off to a late start. And right now, the way things look, it may not be ending anytime soon. So there's a good reason for this rally. And the fact that it's happening right as we start to really get into an exceptionally large harvest, it's just, it's something that we certainly didn't anticipate.
We didn't anticipate, but we'll certainly welcome, absolutely. How far could this rally go? I know if you knew that, really, I mean, you'd have a crystal ball and you'd be on a yacht somewhere, but how much room is there? I mean, are we looking at a potential turnaround Tuesday, tomorrow? I mean, what's your gut tell you here as far as how far this rally could go?
Well, what we're looking at is a market that might be similar to something that we often see in mid to late June here, forecast changing overnight, over the weekend, maybe going from a hot and dry to cooler and wetter, and the bulls throw in the towel. We could see something similar. You know, the forecasts can change just as quickly down there. But if this thing goes on for two more weeks, and then at the end of that 2 weeks, there's not a lot of rain in sight, I think you could probably see corn 20 to 25 cents higher, beans 40 to 45 cents higher, 50 cents higher. The funds are still, while not nearly as long as they, or excuse me, not nearly as short as they've been here for the last several months, they're still carrying a pretty good short. And to liquidate that short would take a lot of buying and again, sharply higher prices. So, you know, we analysts are only good as the next forecast sometimes and forecast updates. So, you know, at some point here, we're going to have to deal with an exceptionally large harvest. Corn yields to date, very, very strong, exceeding expectations in most areas. Not all, but in most areas. Soybeans a little bit, you know, there's some disappointments with soybeans, but somewhat expected given the dry finish that we saw in the last 2 weeks of August and the first 2 weeks of September.
You mentioned those factors, John, and I was about to turn this question the other way around. What's the feeling if we do get some moisture in that forecast down in Brazil? What's your gut feeling about how low this thing could go? We've been, you know, worried for a while about the corn dropping below $4 and soybeans dropping below 10 and how far below those numbers they could go. What's your gut feeling there?
Well, after the first crop production report in August, and the crop just looked fantastic, and our ratings were at record high levels. You know, my concern was that if we finished August out with excellent weather and we got a good start in South America, we could be looking at these corn futures falling, you know, into the 340 area or below. November beans under the $9 level, but we didn't get that rain, as we often don't. It seems like almost every year now we can't finish this crop off. So now, you know, I've raised that, but I still could see 370, 380 December corn. And again, this is predicated on it starting to rain in South in Mato Grosso in particular here soon. I could see corn still backing off maybe into the 370, 380 area. We've just got, again, we're just going to be smothered with corn harvest here over the next couple of weeks. Beans, we still have a major export issue. We're starting to see export sales shipments ramp up, but we're still well behind where we were a year ago. And right now the USDA has us at 150 million bushels above a year ago. And daily we read something about not being right with that Chinese economy. And their sow herd or their hog herd's down 6% from a year ago. There's warning signals out there. And if Brazil gets their crop in without any problems, you're going to see a massive increase in production over what we saw in the current year.
And so I guess maybe the moral of the story is farmers still have to be pretty smart about how they handle this situation right now. Yes, we're rallying at the moment, but like you said, we're only as good as this next forecast that comes out.
Yes, we need to be very careful. And again, 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, we could have been looking at corn prices 40 to 50 cents under where we currently are. So as we're into these fields and we're finding out that in general, we're going to have some really good yields across the Corn Belt, we need to be careful about prices falling much lower. This is not a level that anybody feels really good about selling, but prices can certainly go lower. More so for soybeans, I think the danger is here. And again, what's going on in Brazil can be rectified by that first rain as far as soybeans, going to be a little bit more difficult for corn. But if we get into October, in the first 3-4 weeks of October, disappointing from a shipment perspective, we've got a massive problem. And we could ultimately see beans fall close to that $9 level.
That's John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. You can reach him at 866-837-9027. On Monday, December corn finished up 11 3/4, 413.5. Also up 11 3/4 on the March, 431 3/4. Novi beans up 27 1/4, 1039 1/4. Also up 27 1/4 on the January, 1056 3/4. Up 26 on the March, 1069 3/4. December wheat up 14, 582.5. And in livestock, December live cattle up 62 cents, 183.82. And December lean hogs up 65 cents, 74.87. That does it for the Monday Farm Market Review and the Tuesday Morning Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We're back again tomorrow. Same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.